The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk. Breathe, rechalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5. The Game. Willie Donick, Adam Vingen, Connor Newt. And David Janes here with you. Derek Mason out again today, as I said yesterday, taking a long birthday weekend like a 17-year-old girl. But Derek Mason's actual birthday, I believe, is tomorrow. He will be 52 years young. So happy birthday to our friend Derek Mason. He will be back on Monday. Willie is in Denver, Colorado, where the Predators will take on the Avalanche. Puck drop at 8, pregame at 7. Right here on 102.5 The Game. And we will look at the Predators road trip, a quick two-game road trip tonight and tomorrow. We will talk about that this hour. But let's look ahead to the weekend in the NFL. It's the divisional round, two games on Saturday, two games on Sunday. And let's start with the AFC, gentlemen. The first game of the weekend, a 3:30 p.m. kickoff on CBS. Bills at Broncos. Broncos favored by 1.5. And I've been trying to come up with key questions for each of these matchups that we can all discuss. So let's start here, Willie. For Buffalo, Denver, can a beat-up Josh Allen continue to carry the Bills on his back? Allen was on the Bills injury report with a lingering right foot injury, which he suffered late in the regular season, plus left knee and right finger injuries, both of which occurred last week against the Jaguars. So Josh Allen, less than 100%, but we know that Josh Allen, it will take a lot to get him out of the lineup. He is going to play. And we saw Josh Allen carry the Bills to an upset win against Jacksonville last week. Can he do it again in a hostile environment against the number one seeded Denver Broncos? What do you think?
The line, if I recall correctly, opened up at the start of the week with Buffalo being favored by 1.5, and now it's Denver by 1.5. It's still kind of a coin flip game, but I think you hit on the key to the whole thing, and that is Josh Allen banged up enough that even he can't overcome the situation he's in, especially when you're playing against the defense that the Broncos have? That's the Broncos' path to win. The Bills' defense, you can score some. I think the Broncos have a better matchup here. I like the Broncos' defense chances of slowing down Allen better than the Bills' offense slowing down the Broncos. I think it lines up well for the Broncos. If you're going to play Allen and he's banged up, like the finger is one that I'm really watching too, because that could be worse than it was during the game last week.
Wesson Hermitage says, for the record, no team is 100% this time of the year. That's what makes it fun. That is true. Some teams are far more beat up than others. We will talk about the San Francisco 49ers. But but Josh Allen, I don't want to go as far as to say he's being held together by duct tape, but he's hurting. But Josh Allen, we know he is as tough as nails. Easy for me to say. Connor, is Josh Allen healthy enough to pull off another upset? Because the Bills are beat up too.
Yeah.
They're missing some key players as well. But is Josh Allen against the Broncos, do you think he can do it again as he did last week?
It's really difficult to doubt Josh Allen as a player because he's kind of proven the impossible throughout his career. He wasn't liked in college, was horrible to start his NFL career, and then became an MVP last season. So it's really difficult to doubt it. That said, I know the entire Bills offense essentially flows through him. So that'll be important to watch. Denver's a tough place to play. We know this from earlier in the season. That Denver defense is really good. Nick Bonito is a star. They have a lot of stars on that defense, actually. But I think if you can control the Denver offense, then your offense will work for itself. I think the Bills coming into this one have a massive chip on their shoulder because they know this is the year to win a Super Bowl. This is their year to prove everyone wrong. And if they don't do it this year, a lot is probably going to change, whether that's the coach, whether that's what's built around Josh Allen, whether that's your defense. What say you? A lot of that will change. But back to the original point, I think Josh Allen, yes, he's beat up. Yes, he's got a lot of wear and tear on his body. But that guy has a mentality unlike any quarterback in the league. And that guy has the mentality that he is going to go out there, do anything and everything he's capable of doing to get a win. And I wouldn't pick the Bills to win this one. I really like the matchup, like Willie said, Denver's defense against Buffalo's offense. But I have a hard time doubting Josh Allen is capable of making things happen.
A reminder that the Bills and Broncos faced in the wild card round a year ago. The Bills won 31-7 against the Broncos. That game was in Buffalo. On the other side of the ball, Willie, is the Broncos offense ready to do its part? Because we know the main reason why the Broncos were the best team in the AFC is because of its defense. 68 sacks this season. And Denver has a defense that can carry it to a Super Bowl championship. We will talk about another team here in a minute who also has a defense that can carry it to a Super Bowl championship. And I'm just wondering, do we have enough faith in Bo Nix to go blow for blow with Josh Allen if it comes to it?
I think that is a little too much to ask, but I think Trevor Maddich did a good job of articulating what they try to do with Bo Nix. I think Nix needs to just keep you honest with a couple of big throws down the field. They love to get him out on the perimeter with the rollouts and the high percentage passes. And then he's got to have a good running game to go with him. It's a solid offense. It's a good scheme. It's not spectacular with the personnel. So that is going to be the key, is can the Bills do something big, like take away the running game, force Nix to have to throw it more than they want to throw it with him. The way the Broncos win is defense. You stay in the game. The offense does just enough without having to be spectacular, with some exceptions, right? They've had their moments, but they've won a lot of one score games, which is a precarious way to win.
Derek in Nashville says, "Can we stop talking about the Buffalo Bills like they didn't have the rushing champion on their offense? They indeed did with James Cook, but I don't remember James Cook being particularly good last week against the Jacksonville Jaguars, if I can quickly find it here."
Yeah, he had some decent ones. Now, remember, Jacksonville has the best rushing defense in the league, so it was going to be hard to run it. But I've had Cook on the fantasy team the last couple of years.
Oh, me too.
I've won a lot of weeks. Like, he's very, very good. He's just not – you don't focus on him as much as you focus on Allen. But, yeah, they run the heck out of the ball.
So – We're going to pick this game to take it to the bank at the end of the program. I don't want to give away my choice, but I'm having a hard time with this one, Connor. The line is 1.5, so it's basically a coin flip. I'm having a hard time choosing who I think is going to come out of this matchup.
Yeah, I think you're really going to see best on best on one side of the ball. You're going to see the Bills offense against the Denver Broncos defense, and those are two of the dynamic factors in this league. The thing I'm looking at is kind of the question you just asked. How is Denver's offense going to look? And I think Bo Nix has a little bit more wiggle room to make a crucial mistake than Josh Allen is. because Josh Allen can make a mistake and that Denver defense will punish you. The Bills defense is a little dwindled and it didn't look particularly great against the Jaguars last week. So I think if Bo Nix is going to make a mistake, you can trust that the defense on the other side for the Broncos is going to be able to contain the Bills and maybe limit their scoring. But I think if you were to ask me I'm not going to tell you who I'm going to pick because we're going to do that later, but you're right. It's a coin flip, and I think the environment is going to play a heavy factor into this one, being played in the Mile High City, and that's a tough place to play. The altitude plays a factor into kicking and how long the ball is in the air. It's a lot. It's kind of like baseball. I always factor in when you're playing at the Colorado Rockies Stadium, those balls are going to travel a long way. So the altitude plays a factor. The environment's going to play a factor. It's the number one seed. You're going to their house. It's going to be a tough one, but yeah, you're right. Coin flip. I'm having a hard time with this one as well.
It just so happens that Willie Donick is our Denver correspondent today. Willie, are you getting a vibe?
There's orange everywhere, I can tell you. they've got the banners up. They got the numbers of the players. They've got – it's decorated downtown. And Ball Arena is just a few blocks from Mile High Stadium. And so there is definitely a buzz – going on here. Now, it's not going to be wacky weather, right? We know Denver, you can get weird at any time weather-wise, and it can change a lot, but the forecast doesn't look too bad. It's going to be 37, you know, in the 30s and sunny, so no crazy snow. I don't know about the wind, but and we know the Bills are very, very used to playing in bad weather conditions too, but I don't think the weather is going to be a big factor in this game.
Let's move on to the other AFC matchup this weekend, a 2 p.m. kickoff on Sunday on ESPN. Houston at New England. New England favored by 3 points at Gillette Stadium. Connor, my question for this matchup: can the Texans' imposing defense carry its stumbling offense to the Super Bowl?
That's a tough question. Because the offense for the Texans needs to step up.
And Nico Collins, I believe, has been ruled out for this game. So keep that in mind as well.
That's big. That's a reliable target for CJ Stroud, who, quite frankly, I feel like has regressed since his rookie year. But on the defensive front, yes, this is one of the best defenses in the entire league. I kind of chalk it up similar to the Broncos, and that's a defense that's capable of winning you games single-handedly. We're going to find out a lot about Drake May in this game. This is a guy who is an MVP candidate, but he's never been in this situation before. He's never been on a road, or no, he's at home, but he's never been this far into the playoffs. So he's not used to these make or break situations. Granted, it's at home, which is going to help him, but I'm still questioning whether the Patriots are a legitimate threat to win the Super Bowl or not. So I think Houston's defense is going to be capable of exposing the Patriots for a little bit. You're going to find out a lot about what Drake May is capable of in dire situations. Will the receiving core for New England hold up with Stephon Diggs and that whole bunch? How does the offensive line look against Houston's front seven, which is a tough, tough task? So this is going to be a telling game for both teams, but I'm truly interested in seeing how New England looks against a challenge this big.
Willie, I share Connor's skepticism. We've talked about this. I share Connor's skepticism of the Patriots as a legitimate Super Bowl contender because of their strength of schedule. The Patriots have defeated three playoff teams this season, including the one they beat last week, the Los Angeles Chargers. And I don't have a high opinion of the LA Chargers. They did beat the Bills, and they beat the Carolina Panthers. I agree with Connor, Willie, that I think Drake May's this is a statement game for Drake May. I'll basically parrot what Connor said. It's a statement game for Drake May. This is, in my opinion, by far his toughest challenge of the season.
It will be, but I think the Patriots' ability to support him, the way they got after Justin Herbert last week impressed me, and I think time has shown that you can put pressure on CJ Stroud. The Texans haven't had great pass protection over the last few years. I think they can make his day pretty miserable in that one with the pass rush. And now you take away Nico Collins. I don't know that Drake May is going to have a great game to win this. And I think we know Mike Vrabel's philosophy of the complimentary football. I don't know if he's going to have to sling it around. Now, if the Texans can get on top and sort of force the Patriots to have to come back, that's the scenario that would be rough, I think, for May. But if the Patriots can just play their game, I like their chances in this. I think they will shut the Texans down and not have to score a lot of points to win.
I mean, C.J. Stroud had his struggles last week in Pittsburgh. Fumbled five times, lost two of those fumbles, threw a pick. But he didn't have to do too much, Connor, because the Texans scored two defensive touchdowns. So the other question is, can Houston get those same defensive performances against the Patriots and avoid those mistakes that were not costly against the Steelers but could be costly against the Patriots?
It's a game truly hinging on the play of both quarterbacks. If you're Houston, you're going to have to make Drake May make mistakes. And I think that's something they're capable of. It's a good defense on all fronts. You've got defensive guys on the front line that are capable of getting to the quarterback. You've got secondary options that are capable of picking off the quarterback. So you've got to make Drake May make mistakes. If you are C.J. Stroud on the other end, you've got to take care of the football. You've got to be able to be a game manager. And I realize that's a term that oftentimes has negative connotations, and quite frankly, I'm not okay with that. But you've got to be able to feel the motions of the game. You've got to be able to navigate your receiving core without your number one target, Nico Collins. And I think run game for Houston is going to help them out a lot. Nick Chubb looked really good last week against the Steelers. So I think that's a constant going for the Houston Texans offense, and that's a guy you feel comfortable with your offensive line. You feel comfortable handing the ball off to him and getting some good yardage there. I'm willing to bet you they'll rely on him a lot with Nico Collins being out and seeing what we saw from C.J. Stroud last week. But to me, this game is a battle of which quarterback plays the game better, and I think that's hinging on which team comes out with a win.
615-737-1025 in the AFC. Bills at Broncos Saturday at 3:30. Broncos favored by 1.5 at home. Texans at Patriots 2 p.m. Sunday at Gillette Stadium. Patriots favored by 3 points. Your thoughts on those two matchups, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll look at the NFC divisional playoff games. I've got more pressing questions for Willie and Connor and all of you as well. 615-737-1025. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. David, we've got to talk, man. You've had some interesting choices. I mean, I love Vanessa Carlton as much as the next guy. You've been really highlighting the female artists lately, and that's a credit to you.
Thank you. Listen, I gotta be you have to be, you know, inclusive sometimes.
Well, the white girl music follows me wherever I go.
That's very true.
Is that true?
Yes, it is.
Okay. He loves his white girl music.
I love it.
Okay, good to know. But between JoJo and you had Avril Lavigne last week and Ashley Simpson.
I love Avril Lavigne.
Avril.
Yes.
I love her.
I get it. Avril Lavigne can be hard to say, but kudos. Shout out, Vanessa Carlton. Anyway, let's look at the AFC matchups in the division. Oh, excuse me, the NFC matchups in the divisional round of the playoffs. We just talked about the AFC ones. Let's start Fox, 7 p.m. Saturday. 49ers at Seahawks. These teams just played a couple of weeks ago. The Seahawks won to clinch the number one overall seed and a bye in the NFC playoffs, and they will meet again. Here is my question. Willie, you can start. Can Sam Darnold go where no reclamation project quarterback has gone before? Because we've seen many of these stories. We've talked about it at length over the past few years. Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold. You can even throw Daniel Jones in there earlier this season before he got hurt. Jared Goff in Detroit. These quarterbacks have completely revitalized their careers, but they haven't been able to get over the hump. Can Sam Darnold be the first? Does it start Saturday against the 49ers?
I think he can do it. I am a little concerned about the oblique thing, which became a big story that had all kinds of cameras where he was trying to do it. They were pretty upfront about it. But I think, you know, this is a great matchup. This is a tremendous lineup for Seattle to get the one seed and then play the 49ers, who had to, you know, they've already beaten them. Then the 49ers, it takes them everything they've got to go all the way over to Philadelphia and find a way to win that game. Now travel all the way back out to Seattle. That's just a lot to ask for a team that's so banged up. So if Darnold doesn't get it done here, then I do think it's going to raise major question marks, because they should win this game.
Connor, same question. Can Sam Darnold take the Seahawks, where no reclamation quarterback has gone before, all the way?
I agree with Willie on this one. The oblique injury is concerning to me as well, because that's a tough injury to come back from.
And in case you missed it, he suffered an oblique injury during practice this week.
Yeah.
He is expected to play, but he showed up on the injury report, and that became a big deal.
Yeah, it is a big deal, because as we see in baseball, that affects the throwing motions and that affects the accuracy of a pitch. And same thing for a quarterback. So I'm curious to see how he looks, but I also share what Willie says. If he doesn't get it done, that is kind of a concern, because we saw this last year. The Vikings with him under center looked good, but they could never win the big games. They were first-round exits. They lost to Detroit in that last game of the season for the number one overall seed. So it will become a narrative, if he doesn't get this one done, that he's not capable of winning the big games.
This is something I found interesting, Willie, from ESPN. 10 weeks into the season, Darnold led the NFL in QBR. But starting in week 11 through the end of the regular season, he ranked 27th in QBR the remainder of the season.
And yet, they haven't lost in a while.
No, they have a ferocious defense, as you saw when these two teams played a couple of weeks ago. The other question I have, Connor, at what point will the Niners succumb to their ridiculous amount of injuries? George Kittle suffered a torn Achilles. He's out. By far, the 49ers have been the most ravaged team in the NFL by injuries. The sheer number of impact players who have missed time this season, I mean, no, it pales in comparison. I mean, every other team pales in comparison. And it's a credit to Kyle Shanahan, as one texter said earlier. It's a credit to Kyle Shanahan, who is probably doing the best coaching job of his career, and he's had a pretty damn good career as an NFL head coach. I'm just wondering, at some point, you're trotting out the walking wounded. Yeah. I have to imagine at some point it's going to catch up to him.
I mean, I don't want to bake on anything, but on paper, this could be the week. Seattle has a great defense. I don't want to call them Legion of Boom 2.0, because that is one of the most electric defenses I've ever seen in my life, and I'm pretty young, so you guys know that. But I think on paper, on both ends of the ball, this could be the week. Look, Seattle's got the receiving champion in Jaxon Smith-Njigba. They've got a good quarterback in Sam Darnold, who, as we've mentioned, has revitalized his career. They have a decent running game with Kenneth Walker. So they have capabilities on offense that, on paper, stack up not very well against a dwindled San Francisco defense. So on the other side, you know, your offense, you don't have George Kittle, who is a pivotal piece of moving the football for Brock Purdy. You have a lot of missing pieces on the offensive line, which is not good for Christian McCaffrey, as good as he is. So on paper, this could be the week where injuries come to get San Francisco. I'm not going to say it will, because, as you mentioned, Kyle Shanahan is doing a phenomenal job. Robert Saleh on the defensive end is doing a phenomenal job of coaching these backups up and delivering a good product. But on paper, if you compare the two rosters, Seattle has had a week of rest and they're fully healthy. San Francisco is holding on by a thread. So I would not be surprised if this is the week the 49ers succumb to their injuries and roll over.
And Willie, we're talking about home field advantages. We were talking about it with Denver previously. This will be the first time the Seahawks host a playoff game with fans in attendance in nearly 10 years. because, of course, the whole COVID thing. And we know how electric that field can be. So that's another thing to factor in as well.
Yeah, there's a lot pointing that way. That is a great atmosphere. And I would continue to emphasize San Francisco having to go all the way to the East Coast, all the way back out to the West Coast to face a rested team. There's a lot that points in Seattle's favor here.
That's a good point.
One more matchup in the NFC, Sunday, 5:30 p.m. Central on NBC, Rams at Bears. Let's see, where's the line on this game? The Rams are favored by 4.5. Is that true? Did that change already? I feel like that's bigger than when I looked at it before. The Rams are favored by 4.5 on the road at Chicago. And Connor, the Bears pulled a Houdini act, I guess you could say, last week against the Green Bay Packers. It's par for the course for the Bears. I believe that was their 7th win this season when trailing at the 2-minute warning.
Yeah.
An incredible feat.
Bears games don't start till the fourth quarter.
That is true. So my question is, can the Bears offense show up for 4 quarters? Because I think it's going to take more than 2 minutes to beat the Rams.
It feels like we're poking the Rams with a stick from where we are in the middle of the season, just saying, come on, do something. Because on paper, I think this is a Rams team that's capable of dismantling any team in the league. Puka Nacua is a phenomenal receiver. They've got an MVP candidate in Matt Stafford. But the Bears just continue to prove everyone wrong. I mean, look at last week's game however you want, whether that was what the Bears did or what the Packers didn't do. This, I think, is going to be closer than people think, depending on what kind of Rams team we get. If the Rams team shows up and they are the team that everyone believes they are, the team that went in or played Tampa Bay, who was looking really good at the time and just dogged all over them, I think then this is capable of being a not so fun game for Chicago. But it's a matter of consistency for both teams. If we see the Bears team from the fourth quarter against Green Bay and the Rams team we're seeing right now, it could bode well for the Bears. If we see the Rams team that I think they're capable of being in the Chicago team that plays apparently every game in the first 3 quarters, then I think it would bode well for LA. So it's a matter of consistency on both teams. And whoever comes out looking like their best form, I think is going to come out with a victory.
Willie, we know that Caleb Williams is capable of doing miraculous things, as we just said. 7 wins when trailing at the 2-minute warning this season, which I have to assume is an NFL record. But Matthew Stafford has shown throughout his career that he can get things done when things need to get done. So I'm interested in that aspect of the matchup as well.
I've been very impressed with the Rams all year, and I think they are the better team here. I'm really looking forward to seeing if Williams can make a big impression in the playoff game, win or lose, because he's got a great opportunity here. And he seems to be a guy that, you know, everybody is sold on the talent, and he has had some dramatic wins here with the late charges. Can he put it all together? Like, that's the thing that could be fun for the Bears fans here, is you almost have nothing to lose here. You're the home underdog. You got a young quarterback. It's the first year of a coach. I don't think they should be feeling any pressure. But that being said, I think the Rams are a better team, and I've got the Rams here.
Skyler says, Stafford struggles in cold weather, but of course a lot of those were when he was on the garbage Lions. That is the narrative that's out there, that Matthew Stafford can't win in the cold. Although the Rams did not win this game, I remember the Rams giving the Eagles their toughest test of the postseason last year in snowy Philadelphia. So I understand.
Yeah, that was pretty brutal weather.
Yes, I understand that Stafford's record in cold/snowy environments isn't great, but I do think that narrative is a bit overblown. It is supposed to be frigid in Chicago this weekend. I think the feels like temperature is going to be in the negative teens.
All right.
So,
ooh, all right.
So beautiful day in Chicago.
It's going to be, and of course, you know, you're right on the lake there in Chicago, lake effect, all that stuff. It's going to be freezing. Those fans are nuts. They'll have to put away their cheese grater hats. I do love those cheese grater hats that the
Well, how do they sneak in the actual cheese graters? How do they do that?
I did see a lot of that in the stands watching the game last week. A lot of actual cheese being grated. I don't know how I would feel if I was sitting next to somebody who was grating cheese and it was getting all over me. I don't know if I would be okay with that. I mean, maybe in the spirit of being Bears fans, I would shake it off. But, Willie, I don't think I would like to have grated cheese all over me while watching a football game.
No, I think I would pass on that myself. But, you know, the weather conditions are huge. The wind is the big thing. Like, if the wind chill, okay. But the actual wind, is it going to affect how Caleb Williams played at USC and how Matt Stafford, you know, throw the ball? That's a really fair question to throw out there.
Matthew from Jolton says, Rams by 10. Rams by 10. Matthew from Jolton putting it down. One texter says, that is some cold temperature. Another freezer ball. Maybe. I mean, I don't know where this would rank in the coldest games in NFL history. There have been some pretty damn cold games in NFL history. But that is something that is going to factor into it. So there you have it. Those are your NFL divisional playoff matchups. Again, Saturday starting at 3:30 p.m. Bills at Broncos. Broncos favored by 1.5. 7 p.m. Saturday on Fox, Niners at Seahawks. Seahawks, by the way, favored by a touchdown. Seahawks by 7. Sunday afternoon at 2, Texans at Patriots. Patriots favored by 3. 5:30 on Sunday, Rams at Bears. Rams favored by 4.5. That line has definitely moved in the past, like, 30 minutes, because when I pulled it up, it was not 4.5. 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the NFL divisional round of the playoffs, some outstanding matchups, and hopefully these are as good as many of the wild card games were last weekend. An outstanding weekend of football last week. 615-737-1025, excuse me. But coming up next, Willie will soon have to depart for the arena. Predators at Avalanche tonight. Let's preview this quick two-game road trip for the Predators. We'll do that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Adam Vingan, Connor Newt, 1025 The Game. I'm sensing a theme here. Now it's Natasha Bedingfield from David James. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason's not here. Willie Donick, Adam Vingan, Connor Newt, Derek Mason out today. He'll be back with us on Monday. And the Predators, I guess you could say, Willie, have a pocket full of sunshine. See what I did there? Because they've been winning a lot of games lately. 16 wins in their past 24 games. They look to continue that run tonight against the Colorado Avalanche. Puck drop at 8, pregame at 7, right here on 102.5 The Game. The Predators will then head to Las Vegas tomorrow to take on the Golden Knights. That is a 9 p.m. puck drop, 8 p.m. pregame, right here on 102.5 The Game. And Willie, let's start with the Avalanche. It's been noted that the Avalanche are unbeaten in regulation at home this season, 19-0-3. But the Avalanche are in a bit of a quote-unquote slump. They've lost 3 of their past 5, 2-2-1 in their past 5 games overall, but they are still by far the best team in the NHL. The Predators have lost 2 of 3 so far this season to the Avalanche. And really, at the beginning of the week, I said I thought this was a huge week for the Predators because the 3 teams on their schedule are the 3 teams they are likely to face in the first round of the playoffs if they get there. I know that's still a few months from now, but they could play the Avalanche, they could play the Golden Knights, they could play the Oilers. They passed the first test, beating the Oilers at home on Tuesday in overtime. What's your read on this matchup? What will you be watching for tonight as the Predators face the Avalanche in Denver?
It's the same as it has been for the last few years when you play the Avalanche out here. It's a question of, can you manage the spurt ability, to use the Clark Kellogg basketball term? The Avalanche have the best spurt ability in their building of any hockey team that I think I've seen. It's as good, okay? They're going to rev up the engines at a speed that you cannot match for certain stretches of a game when you play out here. It's just going to happen. So how do you manage those stretches? Can you get the big save? Can you maybe get a little lucky? But you have to manage it. And you can't panic and snowball and and then take two or three penalties, tax your team, because they'll just break you down. They average 4 goals a game. That's really high. And nobody averages more than 3.5. The number 2 offensive team in the league is Tampa Bay. They average 3.5 goals a game. Colorado averages 0.5 goal more per game. That is astonishing. So that being said, it's a tough matchup. They're 19-0-3 at Colorado. They did lose. They had won 17 straight, Adam, until Monday night when the Maple Leafs found a way to win in overtime. So maybe they're due to lose one, but look, you just have to play a really, really good game to have a chance against these guys there.
The Avalanche, by the way, have outscored opponents 101-42.
Oh my.
In 22 home games this season. They are averaging 4.59 goals per game this season at home. Here's a fun fact, Willie. The only team in the salary cap era that has averaged more goals per game overall in a season, Andrew Burnett's Florida Panthers in 2021-22, 4.11 goals per game. The Avalanche at 4.02. So there's a fun fact for you.
I give them a lot of credit for building the depth that they have. The whole thing with Rantanen last year where they made the decision to trade him, I thought that would take, some fangs out of their attack, but it has not. Marty Natchez has been a really good fit, and they have, utilized the cap space they have wisely. Now, they're missing Devon Taves, a key defenseman tonight, and they're missing their captain, Gabe Landeskog. So they're a little thin, but still, you got MacKinnon, you got Makar. Can you find a way to contain him? Now, the Predators, I do think, will have some confidence going into tonight. I think they feel good about how they're staying in games. But this is, I think, the ultimate test to see if you can find a way to be in the game in the third period here.
And we had Elliot Friedman on the program yesterday, Willie. And I think I'm preparing myself for Colorado Avalanche winger Artemi Panarin. I am preparing myself for that. The Rangers today put out a letter from their GM, Chris Drury, that the team is undergoing a retool. And we know how teams don't like to use the word rebuild. But various reports suggest that Artemi Panarin is as good as gone. And Elliot Friedman thinks that the Avalanche, who made a big offer to Panarin before he chose the Rangers, could end up back on the Avalanche at the trade deadline. So watch out for that.
I'm curious, though, what would you trade? What do they have to trade, the Avalanche, at this point?
That's a good question. I don't know.
They're not going to trade you anybody that's really good on their team. They don't have any prospects. They've traded all their draft picks. I just, at some point, to make it work, you got to give up something. I'm curious how they will try to go about that. And they're not the only team. These teams that have been in the running the last 2 or 3 years, they have depleted a lot of assets. So how creative can they get to make a deal like that for a player like Panarin?
Yeah, that will be interesting to see how they make that work. But that is a conversation for another time. After you depart Denver, Willie, you are headed to Las Vegas, where the Predators take on the Golden Knights tomorrow. Again, a 9 p.m. puck drop, 8 p.m. pregame here on 102.5 The Game. The Predators won 4-2 in Las Vegas on New Year's Eve. The Golden Knights have won 6 in a row, including a highly emotional matchup last night, a comeback win in overtime against the Toronto Maple Leafs in the first matchup between the Maple Leafs and Mitch Marner since their high-profile divorce. The Golden Knights are starting to pick things up, Willie. I feel like they were treading water for a bit, but the Golden Knights seem to have their swag back.
Yes, they have Jack Eichel back. That was another guy that was missing when the Predators caught them. So they definitely took advantage of that. The fact that Eichel wasn't in, and they also had their backup goalie in the game that day as well. So I don't know. I'm looking at the scores tonight. Does Vegas play tonight?
No,
this is off tonight. So this is another thing. The Avalanche haven't played since Monday, so that's 3 days rest. The Predators actually have 2 days rest going to this, which is a lot considering how many games that they've had. So I'm wondering about that. And then, you know, when you're playing a team on a back half of back-to-back, I would say the advantage goes to a team like Vegas, who has the day off in between. So let's cross that bridge when they come to it. But, yes, I think Vegas, they went through a little dip. The Predators took advantage of that and got a big win. And now you're likely going to have to beat Vegas at their best with all their guys in this game.
Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ted is on the line. Ted has a question for you, Willie. Ted, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, Willie, I was the guy that caught the puck Saturday night against the Hawks, and I wanted to know if Chris Mason was throwing shade at me when he said, relishing the spotlight or whatever it was, or if he was actually happy for me that I caught the puck. Just kind of want to know your thoughts on that one.
Thanks, Ted.
Well, first of all, great catch. I mean, he snagged it. It was a great
catch.
I did not see that thing coming in.
Set the stage for me here.
Well, it was a deflection that came in. It wasn't like it just barely looped over and he was sitting in the front row. That thing was coming in with some velocity. And everybody, you know, when you know it's going to miss the netting, you always have a moment. I think everybody in the crowd who's watching the flight is saying, ooh, watch out. Let's make sure nobody gets hurt. And then there's just a relief when somebody makes a great catch like that because nobody gets hit. And he made a really good catch. And no, I don't think Chris Mason was throwing shade at all. He was saying, if you make a catch like that, you deserve to flaunt a little bit. The crowd went wild when he caught it. It was a good play.
Willie, what are your thoughts on the goaltending rotation for this back-to-back? Speaking of the Golden Knights, when the Predators went back-to-back against the Golden Knights and Kraken a couple of weeks ago, Eustace Onanen got the start in Vegas. UC Saros got the back half in Seattle. What's the plan for the next two games?
You know, it's interesting. Onanen has played his best hockey the last four or five starts.
Yes.
He has played a very good game in Colorado and a very good game in Vegas. So I think they were comfortable either way. I think it's going to be Saros tonight and Onanen tomorrow. They didn't officially skate this morning, but I think if I had to guess, that's what it would roll out on, especially, you know, with this being a division game. You probably lean that way. But I think the key here is with Saros leading the league again in starts and minutes, that you're going to need some really good games from Eustace Onanen. And I think the confidence that Onanen has and the confidence that the team has in him has gone up considerably here in the last couple of weeks. Because Onanen's last, if you look at his last six starts or so, Pretty solid.
Yes, and goaltending has been a significant, has had a significant impact on this run of 16 wins in 24 games. UC Saros and Eustace Onanen have been quite good over the past 7 weeks. Now, Connor, I want to get your thoughts on this because we've had this conversation many times on our show, and I want to know how you feel. And Willie knows how I feel, and there are Predators fans who probably feel the same way. I'm feeling conflicted about what I'm watching because although I'm excited that the Predators are winning and I like the fact that they are playing entertaining hockey and they're back in the mix, there's part of me that still worries a little bit about what it could mean for the long term as we near the trade deadline, which is still like a month and a half away. So I am getting way ahead of myself. But we sort of had this conversation yesterday when we were having our rebuild, if the Nashville market could handle a rebuild. A lot of Predators fans called me a loser for having this mentality. Where are you on how the Predators have been playing?
Personally, I'm just enjoying fun hockey being back in Nashville again. It's nowhere near the level we got close to 10 years ago, which feels absolutely wild to think about.
Yes.
But it's fun again. You're seeing fun offensive hockey finally, which was just completely absent from our lives last year and even at the beginning of this year. Now it's kind of back, and I think the veterans are playing good hockey. I think the young guys are stepping up when they need to, and me personally, I'm just kind of enjoying it right now. Now, as far as down the road, I do have a little bit of that concern, but I'm trusting in the young guys' development. I'm trusting in the guys down in Milwaukee to continue to develop, and I'm trusting in Brady Martin, to be honest. He may be a few years out, if we're being completely honest, but I'm trusting that there is some level of talent to carry over for years in the future that is capable of delivering to the level at some of the top teams in the league, like Edmonton and Colorado and Dallas and Vegas and some of these teams that are just
consistently good Stanley Cup contenders. I'm trusting the process here. And as of right now, I'm just kind of enjoying the moment, enjoying fun hockey, enjoying that the Predators are actually competing for something later down the line in the year. But I do have a little bit of that concern as well, that maybe being in the murky middle isn't the best thing for the Predators.
Willie, before we let you go, one of my favorite matchups within the matchup whenever these two teams play, Colorado and Nashville, is Roman Josi and Cale Makar. And we talked about Roman Josi the other day, 5 points in his past two games. He's starting to look more like the Roman Josi we've been accustomed to watching here for the past decade. And I always love watching Josi and Makar do their thing head-to-head.
Yes, and I do think that Roman Josi is a particularly important player to watch these next few weeks leading up to the Olympic break, because you're starting to see more and more of Josi's A game. And it's not just the goals that he's scoring. It's overall when you watch him carry the puck, when he's attacking, when you see him dive down with the puck behind the net, make the coverage shift around, open things up for his teammates. Those are things that Roman Josi has done for years, and when he's playing at a Norris level, it's just like you mentioned with UC Saros. When you get good goaltending, your team just becomes better. When Roman Josi is playing at his best, he makes everybody on the team better. And so for them to pull off a win tonight, he's going to need another game like that. But he's been looking more like that player than he has, I would go back to even 2 years ago. Last year was just not a Roman Josi year. He didn't play like a Norris Trophy guy the whole year, and then he got hurt and missed the last 20-some-odd games. And I think it took him several games to get going, and then he got hurt again this year. So we're just now starting to see him build his game back up. So where does it go from here? That's an important question.
Willie, we will bid you adieu. Enjoy the call tonight. You can catch Willie Donick, Chris Mason, Lindsey Rowley, and the crew on FanDuel Sports Network. You can also hear the game right here on 102.5 The Game. Predators at Avalanche, 8 p.m. puck drop, 7 p.m. pregame, right here on 102.5 The Game. Willie will be back along with Derek Mason. We'll all be here on Monday, 615-737-1025. But coming up next, it's Friday. I want a little bit of a lighthearted final hour of the program. So I have asked Connor Newt to bring up something that he does. He did it on Force Company. He does it on Weekend Huddle. It's time for Newt's Notes.
Oh.
DVD edition. That's coming up next. 615-737-1025. Adam Ving and Connor Newt, 102.5 The Game.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
What would you do with 30 extra minutes a day? With LG, that time starts coming back. LG appliances are built to make everyday life feel lighter. With LG, fewer laundry mistakes, fresher groceries, and easier cleanup add up to more time back. 30 extra minutes isn't just time saved, it's breakfast without rushing, dinner without stress, and one less thing to juggle. Smart performance, sleek style, and reliability for real life, that's LG. Get your time back with LG. See the latest models and savings now at LG.com.